How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Now, today's episode is a bit different. We're doing a Pride crossover episode with our fellow LGBTQ+ podcaster, Homo Sapiens, hosted by Chris Sweeney.
Yes, it's a double part episode and you can listen to part one here and then head over to the Homo Sapiens feed, link in our bio, for part two of this brilliant chat.
So, can I just say before we start, as in this can go in the podcast, but there's been a clerical error and I've got some noodles arriving and I'm going to have to go to the door and get them.
Okay.
Because Katie, our wonderful producer who I adore, who never gets anything wrong, texted me 2 seconds before this podcast started saying, are you ready to join the podcast? And I was like, it's in half an hour, right? And I opened up my calendar because I was like, oh my God, I fucked it up. And I watched the calendar entry, which said Tom and Susie, and it bounced from 1:30 up to the time I was on. And what I did is I ordered my Broadbeach dumplings.
So you said that you're in South Australia, maybe?
I'm in Australia, yes. I should probably help everybody understand that. I'm in Australia, guys.
Is it 1/2 hour time difference? Is there, 'cause sometimes it's 9.5 hours, I think, in some time zones in Australia.
Well, where I am, Tom, funny you should ask. Happy Pride Month, by the way, is...
we could do this on the podcast.
Yeah. No, this is the podcast, to my mind.
Sorry, where you are...
Where are you?
Broadbeach.
I'm in Broadbeach, which is in Gold Coast, Australia. And I'm in Queensland, where in some sides of the street it's one time and on other sides of the street it's another time.
Wow. That's interesting.
And what happened in COVID here was super interesting because in one side of the street, in one place, there would be no restrictions. And on the other side of the street, there would be tons of restrictions. So there was much, I believe the word is broigus.
Broigus, that's a good word. What does that mean? Sounds like an American word.
Broigus means like trouble.
Mm. Chaos.
I thought in Australia they were very pleased with their lockdown efforts. So I'm surprised if there was any kind of broigus.
Well, different states had very different takes because it's very state-based here in Australia.
They like to call it federal, don't they?
But could you not just cross the street or did you have to stay on the road that was in your territory?
Well, this was it because I think they were crossing the street. You know, I'll level with you. I'm starting to make it up.
That's never been an issue on this podcast, so please don't worry about that.
Honey, I've listened. I'm aware of that. I mean, it's just you two asking for a lawsuit, isn't it?
Yeah, all the time, Chris, all the time. But at least we've answered why the chicken did cross the road.
It was to get away from the broigus and enjoy some lockdown.
It was in Queensland. Can I just say to you both, though, I'm still calling this the beginning. I have been so looking forward to talking to you both all day. It is so nice to be chatting to you.
Chris, we're so delighted to speak with you. And also, my partner Alfie is very glad I'm doing this because he says that, well, he says, lovely Chris, and he's one of the few people, Susie, you're obviously included in this, one of the people that he actually likes. So...
I was about to say, if you don't caveat that with he likes you too, Susie, that's going to make the next dinner really, really awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've been like, and also, Susie, you didn't make the cut. I'm so sorry. But we now will...
We did go have a little review yesterday. And
but you know what? We're really excited for what's come next for you.
Yeah, and I think this is a great opportunity for you, actually. So we're very excited about this too, actually, Chris.
Well, that's great.
Homo Sapiens is one of the one podcasts that I actually listen to.
Stop it.
Busy just making them nonstop. I actually pause to listen to yours. So it's a real treat to cross over.
Well, I think Homo Sapiens is a great example of a podcast, something that we try to do, which is kind of fill in the, I would say the grey areas, not grey areas, the sort of in between areas.
Grey matter?
The grey matter. Well, I don't know. We don't think there's any grey matter in our show.
Oh, Tom, I think I say some things that are quite profound.
Oh, actually. You do, Susie, you
so,
do.
So can you, you just do. Have a little bit of respect?
A little bit of respect.
Allow Alfie
okay,
to
fine.
Like me.
Okay, fine. He does like you. I said that you already
That's fine, don't worry.
Came around to your house. But trying to fill in all the kind of bits in between of the kind of like big banner headings of our communities. You know, do you know what I mean? Like this kind of human
well,
experience.
Yeah, because, you know, listen, what I think you two do this with yours as well. So it's like such a love in, guys. But like, here's the thing, right? We live as LGBTQ plus people. And funnily enough, you know, most of our lives isn't really, a lot of it isn't about being gay, shall I say, for me personally. It's actually just sort of dealing with life. And I think the only time that we end up in mainstream media is activism. Like, you've had some rights taken away from you. What do you think? And I'm like,
Not great.
And also, like, I'm not sure that's the only thing I want to talk about on the 6 o'clock news. So what I'd quite like is just to hear two, you know, like you two, like two gay friends, or for want of a better description, two queer friends, whatever, just shooting the shit. And actually that conversation is permeated with 1,000 micro references of what it is like to be queer, but it's not about being queer, weirdly. It's about bath mats and we know it.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris, for picking
up on
that.
Thank you.
Because bath mats have been one of the big flashpoints. Is that what young people would call it?
I would say so. Conversational sort of hubs within the like-minded friends.
Questions.
But I think you're absolutely right, because I think that so much of it's something actually that I was writing about this week, about quite often when you're a gay person and you're just talking about your life and talking about your experiences, and I imagine this happens for you as sort of a commentator and a sort of voice within our community, Chris, and I know that I assume it happens for you as well, Tom, as a stand-up, in that sometimes you'll just be talking about your life or your relationship or going on a date or your family, but because you're gay in the story, people will go, well, that's gay stuff, that's gay stories. And you go, well, no, it's not. It's just me existing. And actually, my gayness doesn't really come into this story about an awful date I once had.
Yes.
But I think because our stories are less so in the media, where it's sort of the mundane things about life, it's quite nice to share that, I think.
We are positioned as activism. Have you two been watching I Kissed a Boy?
I haven't
no,
yet.
I haven't seen that actually, Chris. Did you enjoy it with Danny Minogue, of course, an Australian? So I'm imagining you've
of course a friend.
Yes. Why has Tom turned into the Cheshire Cat today? I feel like everything is being said from lazily on a tree branch somewhere.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? That's true. Well,
he's got that food poisoning. He's exhausted, bless him.
And we had Mum's surprise 70th birthday party yesterday.
So nice.
Which is difficult when you're not feeling very well and you don't want to bring the mood down by telling everybody.
Oh, you
what's
poor
going
thing.
On. Poor me. Poor me.
Poor you.
Was it food poisoning, vomiting, and the other end, the whole shebang?
Chris, we have a very Victorian. We're an Edwardian podcast.
We're an Edwardian podcast. He simply couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, well, I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yeah, it was horrible. And I think I got it from a fish and chip shop, actually. It's where I got it from.
You must go to the seaside to convalesce.
And well, it's the last thing I need. If it's fish and chips. Fish and chips is my favourite thing.
Yes, of course.
So I don't know. Rancid fat. That's what I think it was. Rancid fat. This is why I would never be asked to go on a show like I Kissed a Boy.
Why? Because you'd say, oh,
I've got food poisoning.
That fish has given me a dicky tum.
That batter, I think, was a bit too oily. Yeah.
In my head, this is just you, like the end of Beaches, when it's Bette Midler and Thingy on the beach with a little rug over their knees. Do you remember that bit?
Yeah.
Are you saying Tom's about to die and I'm going to take on Alfie and raise him as my own?
Why not? You know?
That's what happens in Beaches, isn't it? I've not just made that up.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were just riffing. Yes. That's what she does. Yeah, she takes the
kids. People
listening
would have got it just because you two are useless.
Wow.
Apologies. I Kissed a Boy.
Oh, yeah. So I was just going to say, if you hear me pouring water, it's because I've got my new water decanter.
Oh, so fancy.
Same place that makes the glassware for Downton Abbey.
Okay. Yeah. You're kidding me. Let's hear the tinkle.
Did you get that from the Titanic Museum, Tom?
No, but I did go to the Titanic Museum and you can buy the crockery that people were eating off when they drowned.
What do they do? Go down to the sea and get it?
Yes, the old ladies were in the water. Yeah.
Heart of the ocean.
Heart of the ocean. Heart of the ocean. I don't got it, baby. I know.
It doesn't look any bigger than the Mauritania. It's twice as big and far more luxurious.
Oh, you're good, Sue. They were very up on the luxuriousness. And they said it wasn't about speed. It wasn't about speed. It was about luxury. People were going to slow down. Unfortunately, they then changed their mind halfway across the Atlantic and went, let's make it a bit about speed. And that's when they crashed into an iceberg.
And let's get there three days early.
Yeah. And it was but it wasn't as simple as the film makes out. It was a combination of factors, as with all things. As with all things, which I like to think this podcast kind of is always about. There's always more than one reason for anything.
So much they could fit into 3.5 hours. They couldn't have made it any longer, could they? They couldn't be like, also there was this thing that happened that's actually quite boring and technical, but we're going to let you know.
They didn't have binoculars on that lookout in the nest. And then the man who was working on the lookout on the previous voyage, when it went from its home, when it from being made in
Belfast
down to Southampton, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He went off and took the keys to the binocular box.
Is that true?
Oh, so it's really his fault.
Well, that's what they say in the museum. Yeah. Well, there's lots of reasons. As I said, there's never one reason for anything.
But did the violinist really play on the deck when it was going down?
Yes, and the violin is there and it's very moving. And there's a letter from his dad saying, they're overworking you. I wish you'd had some sort of break. Anyway, I hope this works out well for you. It's very
hard.
They've kind of, in the museum, I've been once before. I don't remember this before. They've now got a sort of sadder bit near the end where they sort of talk about the people who died. And there's like a sort of experiential, like sensory experience to all about the...
For drowning.
The drowning, basically, yeah. The drowning. And then you go around a corner and then there's a model at the front of the ship so you can stand there and be Jack and Rose. So it's kind of like, it's quite a roller coaster, really. You go from deep sadness to like, oh, you're here. And you do the
stuff. So do they reference the film?
A little bit. And when you go through the sensory experiential room, it feels a bit like the music, but it's not the music.
Oh, because they weren't allowed to use the music.
I guess they wouldn't. They didn't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris, I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk about my decanter and now I've done it and I don't want to distract from what you were saying about...
Danny Minogue.
Danny Minogue, yeah.
So I Kissed a Boy, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a BBC gay dating show. Mm-hmm. They are now going to be doing I Kissed a Girl. So it's not just about the boys, which is very exciting.
Yes.
It is.
Although I wouldn't say that culturally Danny Minogue holds the same place for gay women as she does for gay men. But I assume Claire Boulding wasn't available.
Claire would have done it. You know it.
Claire would have been great.
No, she's a laugh.
Will it not be on a Sunshine Island? Do you think it will be like where Claire does the horse racing or something like that?
Who knows? I'm very pleased that Danny Minogue's doing it, don't get me wrong. But I thought... I don't think
Susie,
that she's
look
quite
at you
the
covering
same.
Your back there in case you have to work with Danny Minogue at some point.
Exactly.
I am not saying it. I'm just saying it's different. It's a different thing.
Can you pop it into reverse? So it is absolutely life-changing because it's obviously like a dating show and that's that. And there's all this lovely queer love going on in it. And I think they cast it beautifully because they found all these people, like not everyone has amazing bodies. It's not like Love Island. They were really nice, magical people. Some of them just fell in love straight away. Then there was lots of like a couple of, you know, the more like getting off with everyone type people. But they talk in between about exactly what we were just saying. Like it's about the queer experience. And it is so touching hearing them talk about stuff that is things we all know that we are, I think, are very just on a base level in used to not seeing represented anywhere else. It just comes between us and then we never expect to see it on TV. We got Sex and the City. That was it. And it's like, and just to see it happening is just, it's amazing. You've got to watch it. You will love it.
Okay, fine. I'll watch it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize. Okay, fine. That's great. Great news because, you know, with those sorts of programs, I think with something like Love Island, because it doesn't pertain to my life at all. I've never looked like this people.
Oh, you get so much of your clothes from Boohoo, man.
I do. I go to Boohoo constantly.
That is such nonsense, Tom. I won't hear it. Now, moment. You two do carry on amongst yourselves. I'm just going to go and collect. I'll be back in 2 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves.
Of course, Chris.
What were you saying, love, about Love Island before I chipped in with a little dig? Not a dig, a gag.
A gag? No digs here.
No digs. We're not archaeologists.
This isn't Indiana Jones. the thing is,
yes,
I think Love Island, it's sort of a world that's not, it's not designed for me. You know, obviously,
no.
I'm a 40-year-old man.
No, but I also think that it's not really designed for anyone. And the young people that watch yeah. it, it's actually potentially quite damaging.
Yes, it is.
And I just, I worry about the, I've got teenage cousins. I've got two teenage cousins who are both absolutely lovely girls, really bright, really interesting, really lovely, beautiful girls. And I feel like them watching a show like that would be, I think you can't help but look at those women and go, well, you're seemingly successful and you've got all these very handsome boys after you. And what are you? You are super thin. You are so, so thin. You've maybe had some surgery to look kind of Kardashian-esque, you know, and I don't know how good that is. You know, I think that when I was growing up, there was quite a lot of like sort of heroin chic thinness. Mm. Oh, there's Alf.
Oh, it's Alf.
Hi, Alf.
There.
Chris.
And
hi.
Oh,
hi, Alf. How are you?
How are you,
God,
they say.
Completely.
He says he's good, thank you. He's very hot and bothered. Of course, he's a ginger by trade.
Completely froze Susie out there.
Yeah, so, I know. That's the thing.
I just thought
no.
since Alf is there.
It's no, I know, like, but after didn't even say hello
to me. On Christmas evening. But he says hello to you often, Suze.
No, do you know what? I'm going to text him in a minute. Anyway.
He said, you're not talking to her, are you? I heard him say that.
But weirdly, he was talking about you, Chris. But I think that there was certainly, like, there was a lot of images of very thin women and it was very sort of celebrated to be thin. I think there's certainly, like, more of a movement now about inclusivity of all kinds of bodies. However, then you watch something like Love Island and it's like the prettiest, hottest, boobiest, skinniest girl is the one.
Did you say boobiest?
Everyone. Yeah, like big boobies.
I also think the way they behave towards each other is extremely toxic. And I feel like it gets a free pass from people who are normally pretty right on about stuff. Yeah, it makes me feel sad because I think that I feel like sometimes I feel like we're getting somewhere and then I watch something like that and I'm like, wow, this is exactly the same as when I was a child, you know? And also, by the way, am I right in saying they don't have any queer people on there as well? There was one bisexual once or something.
I did once do a thing with Rob Beckett, actually, where we talked about if there was a gay Love Island, it would be a lot more kind of like less jealous. People would be like, oh, did you sleep with him? Oh, I've slept with him as well. Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's, oh, yeah. That would be more of a tick list.
I think if it was a lesbian one, it would be like very practical.
Oh, there'd be a lot more climbing. Yeah.
Like, I've been thinking a lot about this, about how I think like lesbians are underused within society.
I think that's so
true. You know what
true.
I mean? Like, I think, and I love you guys, there's certainly at the moment, like, or in the recent years, there's been sort of a celebration of gay men and there's a lot of gay men in things. Tom's wincing at that. But are you wincing, Tom?
Yeah, but I don't know why. Yeah.
I feel like with gay women, it's like, you need a lesbian best friend. Because she will like, you know, if your life goes to shit, she'll be like, don't worry, I've built a cabin. You can go and stay there.
Can you imagine?
What might she bring to the party if I am imagining what a lesbian best friend could do?
A vegan dish.
Obviously.
So everyone's catered for.
Just in case someone's, yeah.
She's not even vegan herself.
Oh, so that's what I love about her, though.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Before anyone, like, writes in, like, I get it. I'm like dealing in stereotypes here. I know before anyone lets me know.
I don't think anybody's going to
criticize
you.
We'll cut that bit out.
what else did she bring?
I thought she was nice.
Shelving. I'm thinking shelving, no? Is
maybe
that too
shelving.
Much of a stereotype? Lots of shelving in that Love Island villa.
Yeah, like useful things like that. I think there'd probably be like an exercise class that someone organizes in the morning, being like,
oh,
no,
that's nice.
No pressure, but we're going to do some laps of the pool and then like some stretching. And
stretching.
I think everyone would be like, yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds good. We'd love to come to that.
None of this sounds like it would make the edit, does it?
Oh, well, you work in telly, so is that why my show's not happened?
Well, we'll have to ask Dani Minogue in her second series.
She would know.
Have you met Dani Minogue? I feel like you probably have, Chris.
Well, she came on the Homo Sapiens, so I met her on Zoom, but I haven't met her in person.
Did you have a nice chat with her? What was she like?
Was she lovely?
She was so lovely.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
and really interesting person to talk to, because she talks about how when she was early on in her career, she wanted to play in GAY in places and people said you shouldn't, and she did anyway, you know. And we forget all that stuff. And
was when they said, the people who said she shouldn't, were they maybe the owners of GAY?
It was Jeremy Josephs.
The bookers. They were like, you shouldn't. But she just turned up with a karaoke machine.
They were like, we don't have a slot. There's another person booked.
It's Porn Idol tonight. You can't be here.
I'm here to perform to the people who want me. They need me. Honestly, people are... There's a birthday party happening tonight. They booked out the space. Shut up.
Yeah, no, she says she was the first person to ever perform, first pop act to perform at GAY.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, good for you, Danny. Good for you. What I wanted to say while we're talking about the Minogue dynasty.
Yes.
I feel like this is a real, again, touchstone, flashpoint, I don't know, for a lot of queer people of certainly my age.
Sure.
A big buzzing, like, red gay alert was if you asked for the Kylie Minogue video, which was a white VHS, which had kind
of... Yes, I heard that.
With the hat that had her hair coming through the top. The top was like...
Yes.
It's like sort of straw, sort of circular straw, but it was without the middle, like a massive visor.
And she did several videos and you could follow her around. I think she went to the neighbor's set at one point.
Yeah.
She really just showed you around her world. She also sang in French, which of course she did. And it was... there was no, like, I didn't think about, obviously I didn't think about it, but at the age of like 7 or 8 years old, this was very important to me.
Do you know, okay, I didn't know that she'd done that, but I've never seen that video. And
I thought you would have had it as well.
Well, I was obsessed with Kylie, but I didn't know, this just didn't cross my desk, because I remember
reading... You had a desk when you were six?
My armoire.
Mother, bring it in!
Yes. So I was obsessed with Kylie, as you both were as well, it's clear. But when I remember sitting in bed and next to my mum, reading in my mum's bed, and I was reading like Smash Hits magazine or whatever.
Of course.
And I discovered, one, that Kylie's birthday was 28th of May, which was the same as mine. I couldn't breathe. And then I discovered her favourite biscuit was custard creams, which was also my favourite. And I was just going like, Mum, her favourite biscuits are custard creams. And like losing my mind. And then... So I was fully paid up member of the obsession. And then the day that Scott and Charlene got married in Neighbours, if you remember that landmark. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Landmark. Well, no, me and my sister were having a fight on the sofa in the sitting room. And my mum was like, if you two don't shut up, the TV's going off. And we were like, no, you can't. It's Scott and Charlene's wedding. So then she left the room and then we carried on fighting. She came back in, she unplugged the TV, and as a result, I have never seen Scott and Charlene's wedding.
Oh, now that's a TV moment, isn't it?
That is a TV moment.
I know that a mouse got out. I know that there was a mouse there.
I can't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I feel like it was such a big deal, television-wise, that it was so overwhelming that I can't really remember it. A bit like an actual wedding, you know, when everyone builds up to it, and then you can't really remember anything.
Like the solar eclipse.
Like a solar eclipse.
Like, I was there. I remember being there. I remember everyone being very excited, but I can't actually remember putting on the glasses and looking up. Do you think there would be a show now that would have, like, a soap that would be so popular that you could have a song off the back of it? Because, obviously, like, they had... What was that song
Suddenly,
called?
Suddenly... Right?
Sure, that one.
Or anyone... you think about EastEnders, you're about to say, Anyone Can Fall in Love.
Also, yeah, what's that? Yeah, Anita Dobson's Anyone Can Fall in Love.
Oh, was that a thing?
That was Anita Dobson.
I've never
heard
that.
The Body Shop. No.
No, that was Anita Roddick.
Anita Dobson.
I always get my Anitas mixed up.
Was in EastEnders and she's now married to Brian May.
And she's the one married to Brian May. That I always get confused.
They're their plug in their house.
Oh, yeah.
With all that hair.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
That would be horrid.
Constantly putting that unblocker down the
You'd podcast. Have to. You'd be, taking them out, making things with them. You could probably like knit with that.
Maybe they use a shower cap. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, Brian May. It's great to talk to you. Obviously, we want to get to the Queen. But first of all, are you shampooing daily, or is that more of a weekly thing for you?
But you can't imagine another soap opera. You can't imagine like Mandy Dingle coming out with a top 10 hit. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was more saying that now. I feel like then Mandy Dingle maybe did come out with a top 10 hit.
Oh, you think it's a time thing?
Craig McLaughlin. They all had songs.
I was going to say Craig McLaughlin. We had his tape in the car. Yeah,
but I don't know whether now someone from EastEnders, for example, could release a song and it would do as soaps as big as they were. I guess that's the question I'm asking.
No, I don't think anyone watches them.
My mum does. Just EastEnders, though.
Here's a game for you.
Yes, please.
Okay, you have to do all three of these. The Grandstand theme tune. No, that's this morning.
That's this morning.
Sorry. Sorry.
Antiques Roadshow. Tom's straight in there.
Always on the top of my tongue.
And Ski Sunday.
I heard this the other day.
I don't know what Ski Sunday is.
It was when we were kids.
Susie's a bit younger.
Guys, you've got to remember, I'm still in my 30s.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still in my 30s.
This is basically
no, I don't mean it like that. I don't mean it like that.
What is Ski Sunday? Was it about skiing?
It was on every Sunday and it was about skiing. And it was on in really the afternoon.
Which made it doubly depressing.
Okay, here's a gay podcast related question.
Sure.
Because we're reminiscing.
Sure. Mm.
Where did you get your kicks from at that time? E.g., my kicks were from the Littlewoods catalogue that used to come through the front door, and that's where I used to look at pictures of boys.
Of course, yeah, the bra section.
I think it might have been Littlewoods, actually, that did a catalogue. That was very, very important. I also had a crush on Frank Skinner, and because he did the football programme, there was a magazine where he was wearing a football kit. I don't know if I've ever told him this.
I think you could tell Frank that.
I think he'd like it, yeah.
I think he'd respond to that. I was getting my kicks from, I want to say like a BHS, alongside, it depends when it was, but sort of, not even the girls in their bras, more in like a strappy dress going out.
Bit of glam.
Bit of glam. You know me, I love a bit of glam. But it depends when it was, because there was a huge moments for me that featured Mel C and moments that featured Kate Winslet.
Interesting. Quite a broad church there.
Thank you for saying that.
Who were your first celebrity crushes, Tom?
Apart from Frank Skinner?
Yes.
I would say... Oh, I know who it was. The boys from the British Empire. The young men who were... It was like the joke that they were gay, but they weren't telling anyone. That was like a joke in itself.
Not Colin with all the spots.
Not Colin with all the spots, no. But actually, Chris Barry is very handsome in that. Chris Barry. Yeah, in the British Empire, the two, like, sort of closet gays.
Rich boys.
Yeah, they were just sort of like, had that kind of, you know, blonde curtains. And the blonde one from Call the Midwife. Not Call Me By Your Name, Saved by the Bell.
Zach.
Oh, I really, Saved by the Bell. You like the blondie?
Yeah.
Dustin Diamond?
No, Diamond is Screech.
Oh, right. God, he looks different. See, I fancied...
Screech?
Mario Lopez from...
AC Slater?
Yeah, because bit of a thug.
You're very up on it, Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, I'm still getting through the series.
Of course, it's a great box set.
I finished Succession, and that's where I were like, what next?
We need
Netflix
something.
Just suggested that next.
So much of Saved by the Bell is like, do you know what's not cool? Drugs. It's like lots of jump cuts, then being like, I hate it when someone smokes. Oh, when people drink, it makes me sick. Like, yeah, it's really funny.
Oh.
And like, there's quite a lot of like turning to the camera. Like someone said, okay, so Kelly, in a minute, just want you to say that drugs aren't cool. Finish your line first and then turn.
So important.
Isn't it weird how you don't remember that stuff at all? Like,
no.
Like, you know, like when, e.g. in Neighbours, something terrible would happen and you would be like crying on the sofa, and then you watch it back now and it's like the most lame car crash you've ever seen in your life. You're like, that did not happen. But it's
close
so...
Close up the wheel, screech, some people like... in the distance stunned.
Oh, well, you'll have to head over to Homo Sapiens for part two.
Yeah, get there right now.
Get there.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.